Marketing for America.
Can you please open your textbooks to chapter 8 and we'll get started?
We are promoting our schools, securing our future.
Totes and goats.
Totes the goats.
We're trying to teach you to think.
Fighting for Idaho.
It's kind of hard to, like, keep up with everything, like school and cheer.
Anyone? Anyone?
Right here in high school, I know that I'm gaining experience that's going to help me no matter what I want to do.
Fighting for you.
We are very appreciative of KIDO Radio coming to our schools and giving us a chance to promote the good things that we do at this.
Thanks for previewing our school. We're proud of it.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
Voices Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning.
Pay attention, Dustin.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Welcome. 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Our great friend Kent Corbett with us, Corbett Auctions. You hear him all the time on the radio, on the TV, everywhere at the auction. Good to have you with us, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Great to be here.
You know, you never do this in broadcasting. You never have anybody on that's better than you. So I do this with trepidation.
Oh, there's no trepidation. I've got, you know, just the difference between you and I, or you do it every day, every morning. What time do you get up in the morning?
About 3.
3. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. That's what time I go to bed.
Well, yes. Well, we'll just let it go with that. But, yeah, 3. I was going to say something. But let's get to you, okay?
Yeah.
You've got, again, fuzzy things are distracting me here this morning at 580KIDO. Kent Corbett with us, Corbett Auctions. Tell us a little. We hear about you. We've seen you at auctions. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the auction industry, because we've, a lot of us, again, have heard of you, have done this. What's that about?
Sure. Auctions. We do a little of everything, Kevin. We do everything from fundraising events. We conducted the fundraising live auction Saturday night. The last 2 days, I was in Twin Falls, Pocatello, and Haley conducting appraisals for states and banks all over Idaho. And Velma Morrison's first online auction closed last night. So we were up late. We had the first online auction, the jewelry-only auction, closed last night at 7 o'clock. And got the 6-carat diamond ring sold for $70,000. And 2 more online auctions coming tomorrow, the next day, and the live auction Saturday. So it's a crazy week. In addition, we have 2 more fundraisers this week, the Ride for Joy Friday night and Campus Crusade Thursday night. So lots happening. We're involved in everything from fundraising events, real estate auctions with Mark Bottles, the Corbett Bottle side, estate auctions, appraisals, a little of everything. It's a lot of fun.
How did you get into this?
You know, it's interesting. In 1991, I went to auction school, had an opportunity.
There's an auction school?
There's actually auction schools throughout the country, and they are a great experience. I would recommend that for anyone that is going to get involved in any public speaking. One of the world famous auctioneers, Jeff Stokes, he actually does some auctions in Boise on occasion, went to auction school years ago, had a stuttering issue. His dad took him to auction school, and it's like singing. It's like with Mel Tillis. When he sings, he does not stutter. And Jeff became a champion auto auctioneer, cattle auctioneer, fundraising auctioneer, a great guy. So the auction business, that side of it, it's a people business. If you enjoy people, the auction business is for you. It's a lot of fun.
Right, so you decided to do this, and then how does one appraise value? And we will talk about the Velma Morrison estate. What an incredible responsibility you have, sir. But before that, how do you, because it's so emotional.
It is.
When people are dealing with family heirlooms and everything else. So how do you do that?
And that's the one thing we have to keep in mind as auctioneers with estate work is the emotions of the family. It's their loved ones. And so we have to keep that in mind. You know, they need to get things liquidated and sold, but there's the emotion there. Valuing items. Those are the discussions we have with every seller, whether we're selling a commercial property, a home, an estate, or a business, is their idea of what their expectations are. And we discuss the seller's expectations before we even enter into an auction agreement to make sure at the end of the auction they'll be happy. So that discussion up front is imperative.
Right, and again, getting the trust of folks and everything else. What's the most unusual thing you've been a part of?
You know, we've done a lot of crazy auctions. We've done some huge fundraisers that have raised over $1 million in a night.
Wow.
We do storage auctions.
$1 million in a night.
Ambrose School, a few years ago, they had a huge auction, and they had a call to the heart. We did the auction, but also what they might call the raise the paddle or call to the heart for a fundraising event where people have the opportunity to make a cash donation. And that actually happened at Funzie's Well Saturday night. They raised a substantial amount of money in the live auction, and then people had an opportunity just to make a cash contribution. But the big auction we did, people were prepared to give. There's a specific item they needed to raise money for, and the first donation that night was over $200,000. So at that particular event. So that was a few years ago. Ambrose School is a great way for them to raise money for their school to buy their property. People were prepared to give, and it just created an opportunity for them to give towards the purchase of that land.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this auction that is going on.
Yeah.
Velma Morrison, beloved in this area, and what a noble, majestic, humble lady. Of course, she had her offices here in this building. I'd bump into her occasionally when she was in town. You would never know her charitable works here. In fact, the building next
huge,
to us.
Huge charitable works.
You know, you've got a plaque there. Tell us a little bit about her, what you know of her, and then we'll get into the auction items and everything else.
You know, it's really interesting when I get to work with the state auctions is I kind of get to know people, the people I didn't know. I did not know Mrs. Morrison personally. I was around her in certain fundraising events, and I know of her. But when you go through somebody's home and you see things like the Bible verses and the plaques on the wall,
yeah.
You get an insight, somewhat of a feeling as to what type of person they were. And I think, you know, from what I've seen, not knowing her personally, the plaques and the things that she had in her home, they say a lot about Velma. It was I hear she was a really neat lady.
Well, now for people that want to take a look at the website right now. What is the website?
The website is CorbettAuctions.com, C-O-R-B-E-T-T, auctions.com. And we had the first online-only auction close last night. There's an online auction that will close tonight at 7 o'clock, online only, so you can bid. And it closes at 7. It will stagger if somebody bids at the last minute. And that's 7 p.m. tonight on the artwork bronzes. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, will be more of the household items, decor, furniture, also some more artwork. And then Saturday, the live auction, 10 a.m., 8:30 will be preview and 10 a.m. on live auction. So if you'd like to come up and to see the garage, the rest of the house won't be open. We had the preview on the home last weekend, but you'll be able to see the 20-car garage and the backyard. It's beautiful, and we'll have a live auction. It'll be wild and crazy.
And what's the address there if people are interested? I know they can go to your website, too.
Right.
But
3505 West Crescent Rim Drive in Boise. They'll be parking at Ann Morrison Park, as well as south of the home, Morris Hill area. We're going to have two vans running to get people to the auction site, limited parking, try to work with people to keep the pressure off the neighborhood. But parking in Ann Morrison Park, as well as south of the home, we'll have two vans getting people to the auction site.
You're saying a 20-car garage.
It's huge. It's just actually, Kevin, for most guys, it is the man's garage. It's got electrical hookups for welders. It has several parking bays, storage rooms galore. Everyone needs a 20-car garage.
What was it like when you were contacted by the family to do this? Because it's an incredible responsibility,
yeah.
Whether it's the Morrison estate or anyone else, but this is a high-profile gig.
It is. It was, definitely an honor. It was fun just to see the home. I'd never been to an event at her home. She threw a lot of parties and fundraisers there, but it was fun to see the home itself. It's approximately, in case you lose track, 5 bedrooms, 8-plus baths, beautiful home. Of course, the highlight, the views are amazing from every room, incredible views. So right. It was fun to meet the family, hear the stories. We had a preview Friday and Saturday, met some other extended family members and heard some stories. So it's been quite a privilege and an adventure.
Kent Corbett with us here at 580KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning talking about the Velma Morrison estate. So they approach you, you do this, and just like every other family, they have the trust, the emotion.
Yeah.
What was it like dealing with the family there that and lost someone that had meant so much not only to them, but to the community and to the country?
Yeah, there's always emotion, and we try to take into account, try to keep that in mind. You know, it's not all business. It's about the emotion. Really nice family members. It's been fun to get to know them. But they are in a tough position handling the estate. It's a tough job for anyone. When you appoint somebody as the personal representative of the estate, you're asking them to take on a huge job. So consider that when you're writing your will. Who do you want to handle things after you depart this world? It's not an easy task for anyone to do.
So what are some of the items that are on bid right now?
There's some fun items right now. This second auction is closing tonight. There's artwork, bronze, several bronze pieces by some national artists. There's a large ballerina butterfly bronze. She stands about 30 inches tall. I tried to pick her up the other day. I'm estimating over 100 pounds. Some original artwork, some beautiful pieces that she had. What's really neat, though, Kevin, is she donated two of her highlighted pieces to a Western art museum. So those pieces are going to be on public display, so beautiful pieces. But there's There's artwork throughout the home, bronze, art, jade, a little of everything that will close tonight in tonight's online-only auction.
Right here in Boise.
Right here in River City.
Yeah. When I'm just trying to figure out how you come up with a value for it.
You know, that's the great thing about my business is we do a lot of appraisals. Yesterday I conducted an appraisal on some business equipment in a doctor's office. Later in the day I was in Haley, Idaho, doing an appraisal on an estate. Met with them in Twin Falls the day before, and they didn't know what they had. So we walked through the home, give them an idea of values. But the nice thing about an auction is you can be wrong and be right at the same time. I love the Antique Roadshow. It's a perfect example of why you go to auction. The Keno twins, world famous,
right?
They specialize in early American furniture. That's their subject matter expertise. And I was involved somewhat with them in an appraisal up in Sun Valley a few years ago, and they were called in for 2 days just to appraise one piece of furniture for $3 million. Now, with an appraisal, what you'll hear on the Antique Roadshow time and time again is, at auction, it could bring between $10,000 and $30,000. Well, the question is it $10,000 or $30,000? With an auction, you find out, number one, they're promoting the auction business because when you run into unique items, how do you put a price on it? We sold some Flying Tigers memorabilia years ago. Almost impossible to find comparables. So just like a real estate appraiser will go out and appraise a home, they don't walk into the home and say, your home is worth $319,000. They look at the property, look at the location, the condition, and then they look at comparables, other properties similar to it in the same vicinity to come up with value.
I'm with you, but when you have Velma Morrison, there's not a lot of comparisons.
There's no comparisons, and that is what makes it exciting, because part of it is she owned the items, and the next thing is a lot of things are original artwork. How do you put a value on it? You let the buying public determine what it's really worth, and that's the exciting part. It was a lot of fun last night to watch these items close. We just sat back and watched the action happen.
A 6-carat diamond ring for $70,000.
I wore it on my pinky Friday during
Did
the preview.
You?
I decided, you know, only a real man can wear a 6-carat diamond marquee in your pinky. It fit just right.
Right. But not $70,000 worth.
Not $70,000. You're wearing a house on your hand.
Yeah, exactly. So we're talking about some of the bronze items. Anything unusual that stands out when people go to your website, CorbettAuctions.com, that they'll see, or that they sure really should come to the live auction on Saturday?
There's some great items in the two online auctions the next two nights. And the live auction, there are not a lot of photos. You need to come and see what's all there. Some of the people that came to a preview Friday and Saturday, some saw some of the Morrison Knutson items. So for Velma's auction Saturday, you've got everything from MK memorabilia, core samples from some of the dams that he built. He was involved with the Hoover Dam all over the country. There's a huge sterling silver platter that was given to him, I believe, in the 60s from the board of directors, all signed and etched, beautiful platter. So there's some incredible items in the live auction as well, too. Capodimonte porcelain, sterling silver, costume jewelry. There's even a mink blanket, which you could use that on some of these cool mornings. You could cuddle up in your mink in here, Kevin.
Yeah, that'd be a great video or a photo for the website. And you and can't you really get a sense of history when you're describing these items to us? I mean, you look at Velma Morrison, you look at Mr. Knutson, you look at the partnership that
Amazing.
Morrison Knutson had, building the, you know, a part of the Hoover Dam, other factories, and right here in Boise, Idaho, and a lot of people that have come into this great city, great community in the past few years don't understand just the rich history.
Amazing history. I read just a little bit about Harry Morrison, and I believe he was born in 1885. And one of the first pictures in a little biography I found was he was taking horses and wagons, supply load, a wagon train, over by Lizard Butte in Marsing. So he started out in the construction business, way back when. Became a concrete specialist, I believe is what happened, how he got into the business. I asked one of the family members, how do you get into the dam building business? You know, how do you get there? Well, how do you get in the auction business? It's one step at a time, but his biography is very interesting. And he was a philanthropist at a young age. He was wanting to give back, years ago. So that's the neat thing about Mr. Morrison is he's been giving back, and the foundation that Velma created, the Harry Morrison Foundation, continues to give back today.
And they stayed in the community.
And I believe they have, you know, several causes they support around, but they're very active in this area, in Boise. I know they've made donations to most of the colleges. You'll see things in her home. She's donated to Boise State, College of Idaho, Northwest Nazarene University. It's a very giving organization. I don't know everything they do.
They're upstairs. Sure we could go talk to them after this.
You bet. Right upstairs in the foundation.
Yes. But we'll talk more about this in a minute. What other auctions are you working on?
We have a big auction May 31st, the end of the month, where we switch from selling diamonds to Peterbilt trucks. We have a
Peterbilt
07 Peterbilt water tankers, so we do heavy equipment. We just finished up with an auction for Ada County Highway District. We've had dump trucks and
vans.
Now,
wait a minute. Hold on, Kent. Okay, I can understand getting a value for a diamond ring, but a dump truck?
Even more fun. It's dump trucks to diamonds. We sell it all.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Some of the online auction items of the Velma Morrison Estate.
Thursday night will be decor and furniture in the live auction Saturday at 10 a.m.
And the public is invited.
The public's invited. You've got to come up. We had the preview on the home last Friday and Saturday, but this Saturday you'll be able to see the huge 20-car garage and the grounds of the property. It's beautiful.
Now, what about when we're taking a look at the house itself, is that for sale?
We have the house listed. It's listed through Corbett Bottles Real Estate Marketing, and we listed the home for sale at zero, bring all offers. It's impossible to value the house. What is it worth? We're going to find out with offers. We do have a couple of different interested parties right now on the home, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of offers come in. It's in an incredible place.
Could you describe it, how big it is?
You know, it's 12,000 square feet, the home itself. The garage is 4,000 square feet, but very livable. We were in there for days setting up the online auctions, preparing the items to sell. And after you're in there for a while, the way the home is designed, it has a Frank Lloyd Wright exterior appearance, and inside, the home lives really well. The master bedroom is 1,500 square feet approximately. So it's just your size, Kevin. I think you know, you'll have some room to walk around a little bit.
Yes, so when we expand the empire, literally and figuratively,
exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. You could do the radio show in her parlor in her 1,500 square foot master bedroom.
Wow.
Beautiful.
And you think of, you know, you go back to Mr. Morrison and Velma and MK and everything else. You're talking about the Hoover Dam. You're talking about the Panama Canal.
Huge. Huge. I don't know all the projects that he was involved in, but...
Yeah, neither do I, but I mean, those two right there.
Huge,
wow.
Huge. Yeah, phenomenal. He was involved in projects throughout the world. Many people that live in Boise have friends and relatives that work for MK, and some stories. It's pretty amazing. I got to meet a lot of those people at the preview last Friday and Saturday.
Must have been humbling for you.
It's interesting. It's a lot of fun to see.
Because you're in the work zone, but still, it's about people's family.
Yeah.
And I'm look, you know me, I'm a cynic, Kent, but I'm emotional just talking to you about it because she meant to the community.
Yeah, I love the people aspect of the auction business, and that's what it's all about. Whether it's a fundraising event or an estate or perhaps a making a life-changing decision with a business, whether to stay in business or to go out or to retire. That's really difficult with some people, when to decide to retire and sell that family business you've had for maybe 50 years. The kids don't want it. Maybe they do. How do you make that decision? So we say we're in the counseling business and the auctioneer business.
Well, in the radio business, you really don't have to be counseled. They just tell you when you're done.
That's a good thing. That's a good place to be.
I don't know about that, whether you're ready to be or not. Kent Corbett with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. What do you think will get the most bang for the buck? And there are a lot of value here. I'm looking at your website, Corbett Auctions, but I'm also taking a look at just some of the items, the Western art, the paintings. You don't have to be Richie Rich to buy something from this estate.
No, there's items on the online auction right now that are at $2, and there's some things that are at over $2,000 in the auction. Of course, the diamond ring sold for over $70,000 approximately with
the
buyer's
premium. That's probably a good deal, though. Six carats?
You know, if you had to replace that, you're probably looking at $100,000, $125,000 replacement value, somewhere in that range. I'm not a certified gemologist, but... Yeah, great buy, beautiful stone. It's all about the cut, the clarity, how it's cut and designed, and the flaws and the inclusions in the stone. But there's some great items in the online auction right now that anybody can buy. Anybody can buy.
So back to the house, you do believe that this will go quick and that there are people that can afford a 12,000-square-foot home, a 20-car garage, living in Boise, Idaho, or want to move here?
Sure. You know, it's amazing. There are a lot of large homes in our area of that size, and there's a multitude of people that can purchase it locally as well as outside buyers. Neat property. I don't know how quick it will sell. And to be honest, we haven't really discussed exactly what the sellers want to receipt for the home, but once we get an offer on the table, we can go from there. So it's such a unique property. And, of course, just like with the personal property, there's some emotion there because it was their mother and grandmother's home. So you know, that always enters into it as well, too.
Well, and finally, Kent, how do you deal with that? Because most of us will have to deal with the idea of selling your parents' home, your grandmother's home, a place that was such a sanctuary. I mean, my wife yells at me all the time, I'm a hoarder. If I had my way, I'd just hoard everything and, you know, I'd have these empty buildings and such. How do you move on? How do you move on?
You know, that's a great, great question. Yesterday I met with an estate up in Haley, Idaho, and his parents had collected some really neat antiques. We'll probably sell the home and the contents at live public auction. And in the process, he's the personal representative. What a big job it is.
It is. Yeah.
He turned to his wife and he said, let's put it in our will that we're going to sell everything at auction. So no matter how large of a home or small, it's a great way to resolve that. And if you put that in your will and your kids know what you want at the end of the day, it can resolve that problem of how to sell things and what they should do. Because that's a big discussion. One of my auctioneers, his father, 95, passed away. And in his will, he was a cattle rancher, but in his will, he said everything's to be sold at auction. And in his will, he determined what percentage the kids would get, the cousins would get. We sold everything to the highest bidder, including the home, and that reduced any potential conflict. And that's a great thing about being able to put that in the will. You can say, here's how I want it done, here's how to sell it, disperse the funds, and reduce the potential conflict, because that's a large thing that can occur in every estate. That can be a problem.
Now, we can't let you leave without you giving us a solicitation for folks to listen to Kevin Miller and to call in and everything else. Are you feeling up to it? I know it's early.
Oh, it's early. It's early. What do you want to hear?
Well, you know, hey, everybody, call Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO. He's a good guy. Come on now.
You are a phenomenal guy, and I've met you at several fundraising events, and that's what's neat. You do a lot of great things for the community. It's good to see you. We worked with together in the past at some of these fundraising events.
I marvel at what you guys do, yeah.
Well, you're a pro as well, too, Kevin. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO. He is the news talk man of Boise, Idaho. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
You know, that's going to live forever, at least as long as I'm here. Could be today, but anyway.
It's been fun. Appreciate it, Kevin.
One more time, sir, your website, Kent?
CorbettAuctions.com, C-O-R-B-E-T-T, auctions.com.
Yeah, I'm having trouble focusing just looking at that website with all the stuff on it right now.
Lots of goodies, lots of fun.
Kent, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're listening to 580-KIDO.
Steve Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
And good morning, Kevin Miller here at 580-KIDO, live from Rolling Hills Charter School. Love to be here. It's amazing to be back at Rolling Hills Charter School. The last time I was here was for a big assembly where we had over 300 letters being sent to the folks in Iraq, and we personally deliver them. So it's always great to be here, always great to be at a charter school along with the regular schools and just find out the differences and really highlight the good works of education. Remember, promoting our schools, securing our future, brought to you by our great friends at CAPED. We're joined by, well, I was trying to be quick and flippant. The sports expert,
hardly.
Dave Burnett.
Hardly.
I was giving you a compliment.
You were, but a sports expert? I am a casual fan. How about that?
I see. Well, sometimes you like to talk sports. You're sporty.
Well, okay, how about this? Steelheads lose last night. They're in jeopardy of losing the rest of the season. They got one more loss or done.
Well, that would be tough for them.
Yeah.
I was talking more about the NFL draft, and I thought to myself as I was getting ready this morning, it's too bad we have Hotel Ryan with us, and nothing against Hotel Ryan, but I know Sweet Willard is so bummed out because I'm sure he would like to talk about the Manly Man segment and talk about the NFL draft.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. I'm sure he'd have his take on it, which is as goofy as anyone else's. I find the NFL draft fascinating. Everyone's got an opinion on it, but really when it comes right down to it, it's the people with the money and the people making the decisions in the NFL that, you know, they're going to make their calls. It's as simple as that.
I think the NFL draft has jumped the shark. I don't think that there's a, I mean, really, if you're not into the NBA, you're not into the NHL,
And I think, again, the lack of critical thinking skills is evident with how big the NFL draft has become. The NFL draft now, they're thinking about having round one on one day, round two on another, actually expanding it to 6 or 7 days.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, you're not all that, NFL. You're not college football. You're not the Southeastern Conference.
What?
You heard me.
You're comparing it to the SEC?
You're not the SEC. You're not all that in a bag of chips. The NFL, with this draft thing, and then you have people going, I love the NFL draft. It's a great event. It's a bunch of guys running around talking on phones. Is it really that compelling?
Well, I had a conversation with Michael Harmon from Fox Sports about this yesterday. And
who?
Michael Harmon. You heard him on with Tony Smith. He's on the weekends as well at Fox Sports.
So actually, I haven't heard of him.
Well, I wouldn't have figured you would because you're not really that big into sports.
You're right. No, I Michael Harmon. So, okay. I know
do you want to hear what I have to say or do pick on who I talk to?
Well, no, don't get defensive. You said you know him, and I go, no, I know Eitan Chandler from NBC. He's a friend of mine. In fact, I gave him his first job. I'm just saying, you asked a question. Can I not give an answer?
What question did I ask?
You said, do you know Michael Harmon?
And I never said that.
Harmon Travel?
Yesterday I talked to Michael Harmon from Fox Sports.
And I said, who's that?
And he's on Fox Sports One, the TV network, too.
Okay.
And then you asked the question, who's that? Who's that? Okay, so we have it straight. I didn't ask you any questions.
Hold on. Ooh, okay.
Back on topic now. Holy cow. I think Hotel Ryan needs to keep you focused. I talked to him yesterday because that was my question was, have we gotten too crazy with this, with the NFL, the draft? We sit, we watch guys run around in shorts, shirtless, and the combines. And he said, well, let's be honest.
Maybe you do.
He said, let's be honest. Dollars talk, and that's where it's at with the NFL because they can do it. They can sell it. They've got the ratings. They've had networks talk to them. I mean, the big three networks talk to them about holding the draft. That's how big of an audience it's drawing. This is an NFL crazy country, and if it has to do with the NFL, we're in.
Well, some people are in. I'm not in.
Well, the ratings say we're in. Whether you're interested or not, the ratings say we're in.
Well, we'll see how good the ratings are. Remember when it was in April, and actually Bill Polian talked a little bit about this yesterday, Dave, where he said part of the success of the NFL draft was that it was in the last week of April before the Kentucky Derby, before everything got fired up. So I guess we'll see what happens. I kind of liked it when it was on Saturday and it was a big event. And, you know, when sports was, I don't want to say pure, but, you know, when ESPN first did it and it was kind of goofy and kind of hokey, now you've got, I'm sure CBS is going to do something, NBC, Fox, the four-letter network. It's going to be crazy. And then you think to yourself, just like as much as we love those banana peppers, eventually, too much, you know, you eat too many of them.
I'm not arguing with you. I agree. It's just crazy how we are. But as he said, as long as they can sell it, they will. And if the NFL can figure out how to sell now June and July, they've got the year covered.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So they're talking about moving it back 3 more weeks next year. And then they're talking about if they do that, the physicality might start because these people are going to miss the OTAs or something like that. But no. Whatever.
Yeah, so it makes it, you know, I don't know. We'll see where it goes and at what point we decide, yeah, enough is enough. Boise State, there's 3 guys that could be drafted. One guy who will be drafted today, probably first round, according to the experts, that'd be DeMarcus Lawrence. Ranked now as one of the better defensive ends in the college draft. All of his workouts, he's only moved up in stock. And again, you know, this moving up, moving down in stock, and whether you're number one or number two, who knows? How many bombs have there been to have been drafted in the first round? But DeMarcus has moved up in the ranks.
Well, you were critical of him leaving, though, weren't you?
No.
You weren't?
No, uh-uh.
Wasn't that maybe that was a private conversation we had.
It might have been, but I'm not critical of any of these guys leaving because the truth is there's a shelf life. They only have so many plays in them. And if a guy is good enough to go and make the money, then he's going to go and make the money. And that just happens. And I guess part of it is, as a program gets better, it happens. Excuse me, it happens more and more.
What was that?
It was my glasses. I was turning to look at something. My glasses scratched on the microphone. But that's sharing inside stuff with the audience they don't care about. The other
The audience does care about it because that's a tune-out factor.
Well, I'm sorry to run your show. The other two players that have
such
a potential
sincerity.
Of being... It was from the heart. The other two players that have a chance being drafted will be Charles Leno and Matt Paradis. If they go, it will be latter rounds.
Yeah, I just, we'll see how that plays out. Now, are any of these kids from Idaho?
Matt Paradis is. Yeah. From Council, Idaho.
I'm sure. Yeah. And that's the thing. Do you really lose something when you get all these kids from other places? And what is it? What's the defensive end guy, the guy you just talked about?
Well, his name would be DeMarcus Lawrence.
Right, DeMarcus Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I mean, when's the last time he was in town? He's training and stuff. And
he's been training. He's been training in, I think, down in California.
Yeah. Do you really care when people leave? I don't know. I'm a big fan of the local folks, so we've got that going on. We also have a comment by Michael Jeffrey Jordan that you and I talked about off the air, saying when he was young, he hated white people because of the Klan. And then this really goes back to, and this is one of the reasons why we're here at Rolling Hills Charter School and other schools, where they promote critical thinking skills. And then you have people yesterday apologizing for Michael Jordan, saying that I don't blame him for hating white people. And it's not the same thing as Donald Sterling. And I'm thinking to myself, have I lost my mind here? Where Michael Jordan says these things, and okay, Michael Jordan was a kid when he said it. Donald Sterling's a man in his 80s. Does that make a difference? And people, you know, one guy who's trying very hard to be, I don't know, compelling, kind of like me at 580KIDO, was saying, well, you know, I was a Catholic, and the Klan didn't like the Catholics. And I'm going, wow. And I go, I can't wait to talk about this with Dave Burnett before 6 a.m. this morning.
You know, I started thinking about the whole thing with Michael Jordan, and I'm not sure if he's going, oh, no, my book's being released in the middle of this Sterling thing, or if he went, yes, I'll get more publicity because of it. Apologists will apologize for Michael and say that, and I get it. I get it growing up in South Carolina. I get why he probably hated white people. I get that. You know, it's just the same as if somebody grows up in an area that is, has more minorities, or if you're the minority and there's a majority and there's things done to you, I get why somebody would have dislikes the other way. My question is this, not even so much with Donald Sterling, who is saying these things currently. They're saying, well, Michael said it when he was a kid. He feels different now. Well, yeah, well, Paula Deen said these things years ago, too, and she lost everything because of it. Has Haynes called up to cancel Michael Jordan's endorsements yet?
I don't think anybody's canceled the Charlotte Bobcats either, or the Charlotte Hornets sponsorships.
And again, I'll say, yes, he said these things as a youth. You know, I get that. But Paula Deen, the comments that she made was years ago. So I don't know.
Well, I think the bigger issue here is the double standard in the media, particularly the sports media, which besides a few people, I don't know. I just can't stand listening to it because it seems like they just give anybody – anybody that collects sports cards as a little kid, the ability to get on a talk show and do a show, it just doesn't seem there just doesn't seem to be any depth. I do like the guys, you know, a couple folks that are on our sister station, but other ones are just a progressive liberal and they're going, well, yes, it's wrong. And I'm thinking of one guy in particular that compared Catholicism in the South to being African-American in the South, and, you know, there is a difference between North Carolina and South Carolina, between Georgia and Alabama, but there are a lot of good people, and the South gets a bad rap when it comes to race. So Michael Jordan, you know, I think he should be held to the same standard as Donald Sterling. He won't, so there throws the argument out of equality. Same goes to say who can and who can't say the N-word. It's a divisive issue.
It is. It'll be fascinating to see if it's the lead story on the Today Show. No, I'm sure it will be. Or if it'll even be mentioned.
Here's another thing, and you can get this at 580kido.com on the Kevin Miller hot list. The feds declare war on conservatives. It looks like whether you're on the internet like Matt Drudge, whether you're a national host like Sean Hannity or a local host like Kevin Miller, the feds are taking a look at conservative outlets and the idea that conservative media now has too much influence.
Wasn't this originally floated as, what was it, the Fairness Doctrine, or what was it originally floated as?
Right, it was the Fairness Doctrine, which was thrown out, which was a saving grace to talk radio. But now the feds, and this is the lead story at our hot list there, the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission chairman, warns that conservative media, like the Drudge Report and Sean Hannity, face regulation. And as I point out in the hot list, that if they're going to start going after the big ones, they're going to go after, well, the little ones, if you will. So that would be us here at 580KIDO.
And that will be a hot topic as we go through the day today, not only locally with Kevin, but also on the national level as well. So get ready for that right now. Get ready for your traffic as you're coming out of
Canada. Oh, come on.